Elder Darren Owens from Pine Hill Primitive Baptist Church in Ripley, Mississippi. Text starting in 2 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Doctrine. Don't take the credit for God's work.
I appreciate the opportunity to come this morning to stand before the Lord's people wherever they may be in assembly. I was thinking as I was sitting there, the reason that I am here, and I came up with four. First of all, I'm here, I believe, because the Lord called me to be one of His. Amen. Secondly, I'm standing here because He called me to preach the gospel. And thirdly, I'm here because your church called for a general announcement of assembly to worship the Lord. And lastly, because your pastor called me specifically and said, "What time are you going to be here?" So, if one of those callings had gotten out of sorts, I might not be here this morning. If the Lord permit, for a few minutes, I want to begin with the second epistle of John. A very short book written by the Apostle John, and I want to get down to the end of it, but let's start at the beginning because it is a short book and we'll do well to read what leads up to the Apostle John's statement here. He begins by writing, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children." Now, I have no trouble this morning looking at what I believe to be a child of God and having enough assurance to say this is an elect of the Lord.
Right.
Because that's a great blessing to be elect, and it's a great blessing that your election is so known of others that they're able to pronounce it. She obviously had behaved herself in such a righteous way that the grace of God shone forth in her actions and in her life. I don't believe that it's my place to look at someone and say, "Well, that's not one of the Lord's."
Right.
Because I believe the Lord can take the worst of us, and truthfully, He has taken the worst of us.
Amen.
And made us to be elect and beloved of Him. "Whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth." I don't know all the Lord's people, but I hope that it can be said I love the Lord's people because of the truth. I especially find great comfort in meeting the Lord's people who love the truth of the gospel that I love. And I may not have seen them before, nor spoken with them before, and may not have anything else in common, and that's all right. But Lord, if we've got Him in common, and a love of the gospel, of the salvation by the grace of His Son, that is a uniting factor.
Amen.
And so John says, "I love this elect lady in the truth. And not only not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." Here are John's introductory remarks as he's writing to this dear sister in Christ. Asking grace upon her, mercy upon her, and recognizing the source of that grace and mercy, the Lord God and Jesus Christ. He says, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth." Now, I suspect that John was much like the Apostle Paul, in that when he preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and departed for a season and would go back to find those again that he had preached to, What a rejoiceful blessing it was to find them again still in the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To find them holding fast to the things of God, to the doctrines of grace and of mercy and of the salvation by the blood of Christ, holding to those things, not being corrupted by the things of the world. So John is rejoicing in that they have maintained the teachings of the gospel as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. John is not writing something new to her. I don't have anything new for you this morning. I do sometimes hope when I go visit a church that I don't preach the same sermon I tried to preach last time. But, you know, sometimes we get those favored sermons that we feel like we just need to preach over and over again. But there's nothing new that any of these ministers yesterday, today, or tomorrow can bring to you. And if it's not of the Bible, if it's different, they need to keep it to themselves.
Amen.
And this is love. John's going to talk to us about love here. What is love? He says that this is that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love. How do we show our love to God? How do we show God that we truly have a heart's desire toward Him, toward fellowship with Him, toward the things that He has done for us and given to us? John says here that we walk after His commandments. John said in the gospel that He will manifest His love to us in that He will come and abide with us. That's a manifestation of the love of God, that He makes His blessings known to us.
Amen.
That He makes us to rejoice in His presence and what He has done and who He is and what we understand of God. I thank God this morning that we have an understanding of who God is. At least I believe that I have an understanding that He is the King of Kings and He's the Creator of all things through Christ, and He is the only God, the one and only, and there's none other. That He is all-powerful and all-present and all-knowing. And brethren, I just don't believe there's any weakness in God.
Amen.
And if there's anything that He can't do, it's those things that He doesn't want to do.
That's right.
We know He can't lie. We know He's not going to break His covenant with us made through Christ. There is no weakness in God. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. These things are not given that we might casually consider the commandments of God. Well, that's a wonderful teaching, and I'll take that under consideration, and I'll study upon that, and maybe I'll put that to practice in my life. You know, that's how most folks consider baptism.
Right.
I'll think about that for a while. I'll consider whether that's for me or not. Rather, on the day of Pentecost, there were thousands baptized who did not go home to give consideration to the commandments
Amen.
Of God.
That's right. Amen.
They obeyed them with all haste. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Brethren, I don't think the antichrist is to come. I believe He's here. And even now are there many antichrists. Those that oppose the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who would attempt to stand in His place and say, I have done this for you. I have brought you salvation. I have done what needed to do to help you get to heaven and immortal glory. And I've heard folks say that I helped them and look what this preacher did or look what that preacher did. Brethren, these are deceivers, and John says Antichrist. I believe we're in the last days now.
Amen.
I don't fear some period of time to come that will be the last days. Even now are there many antichrists, and we are in the last days. It's not some bewildering, magical thing to come. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now, remember the church at Galatia. The Apostle Paul wrought a labor in Galatia. He came there and he preached the gospel to those that were the Lord's children. They received the gospel. They rejoiced in the gospel. He preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When Paul went to Corinth, he said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what Paul preached everywhere he went. I hope that's the subject of our sermons on every occasion that we're given to stand before the Lord's people. That we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But we find that there were some, after Paul's departure from the church at Galatia, who came in and bewitched the church with a false doctrine. And the Apostle Paul said in the first chapter, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which he corrects and goes further by saying, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, I try to be a nice person everywhere I go. I hope that I have a good report amongst the brethren. But if I must give glory to where glory is due, then it's going to the Lord.
Amen.
And if I must speak the truth and it be not what you believe, then I'd rather the Lord be spoken kindly of. I'm not going to come and participate in the ungodly ideas of the world. And so if my beliefs insult you, so be it. You understand what I'm saying? If I tell you this morning that you are a sinner before a righteous God, and that you have nothing of your own nature to offer Christ in salvation, and you find that insulting, brethren, that's just simply the truth.
Yeah.
If I come this morning and tell you that it is Christ who paid the sin debt upon Calvary's tree, and you were not there to help Him out, that's simply the truth.
That's right.
I thank God you were there, but not in an advisory capacity. Not in an assistance capacity, but you were there in the heart and the mind and the purpose of God, because it's His blood that was shed for you. If you're an elect child of God, His blood that was shed for you, you were there simply to be a passive recipient of the blessings of God.
Amen.
Brother, I don't find that insulting at all.
Thank you.
I feel it's insulting if I try to take any of God's glory.
Right.
So Paul says, who would pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul uses strong language in talking about what has happened to the church here and to their understanding of the teachings of God's truths. All right, let's go back to John. We read the 8th verse. Let's read it again. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. I'm very thankful this morning that I believe the Bible teaches that that which God has given to us, we cannot lose.
Amen.
You cannot lose the eternal love of God.
That's right.
You cannot lose the electing blessing of God, or the predestinating grace of God, or the calling, or the justification, or the sanctification of God. Because those things God has wrought. Those are the things that He has labored for, that His Son labored for. But John says here that those things which we have wrought, he says that we lose not those things. Brother, if I've achieved something, I can lose it. If I've labored for something, I can lose it. If I've labored to be close to the Lord, then I'm going to be close to the Lord. But if I, like the prodigal son, have labored to be far away from the Lord, then I'm going to lose the fellowship of that close relation.
Amen.
I will not lose the sonship, but I can certainly lose the joyous presence of being in my Father's house. And then look back and see from great distance that His servants fare better than I do. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things. So we need to rightly divide what we can lose and what we can't lose. And thanks be to God that we cannot lose eternity.
That's right.
But that we receive a full reward. John's desire and prayer for the elect lady was that she receive a full reward. He rejoiced that her children walked in the truth, that they might receive a full reward of the gospel blessings and the timely blessings of God. Alright, verse 9. The Apostle John says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." All right, remember, we're talking about the things that we can lose.
Right.
Because those are things that we have wrought. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. There is one... Oh, let me be careful how I say this. There is one means by which the children of God have eternal life. And in that means or that will, I don't like the word plan. I don't think God has plans. I think God has a will and a purpose. Plans fail, but the will of God doesn't fail. Every elect child of God, whether they be born again in the womb are born again on their old age deathbed, which is possible.
Right.
Whether they die in the womb after that regenerative act, or whether they die on an old age deathbed, every child of God, whether he live in this country or any other country, or have this color or any other color, or this language or any other language, or whether he has heard the gospel or not,
right,
will live in heaven by the same will and purpose.
Amen.
And in that will, God foreknew, He predestined, He elected, He called and justified and glorified. In that will, Jesus Christ came and died upon the cross for those that were given to Him. In that will, the Holy Ghost regenerates. And you also see Jesus Christ has a role in that. He speaks and life is given. In that will, they are resurrected from the grave and ascend into the heavens with Jesus Christ at the end of time. But there is one means by which all the children of God have an eternal life. There's not one different. You're not going to get there any different than the person sitting beside of you.
Amen.
Nor the person down the road who's never darkened the doors of a church house, but God loved them and called them, and they're good people because the Spirit of God dwells in them. You see, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are one. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. I'm going to give you one real quick little biblical practical thing that you can do. This is what John says. If any come unto you and bring not this doctrine. This is the doctrine of Christ, you see. And if you don't have all the doctrine of Christ, you don't have enough of the doctrine of Christ.
Amen.
You don't have the doctrine of Christ. If you believe in the Father and the Holy Ghost, but you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you don't have the doctrine of Christ.
Amen.
And if you believe that Christ died, but you've got to accept it and believe it, then brother, you don't have the doctrine of Christ. If any come unto you and bring not this doctrine. Now, John didn't go in great detail about all that. You need to go back in the Gospels and the other epistles to get all of the doctrine of Christ that's given to us. But if any man come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For if they come knocking on your door, John says, don't let them in. I mean, he didn't say bring them in and try to convert them. He said, don't let them in. And then he said, don't bid them Godspeed. Well, go on your way. I don't agree with you, but good luck with what you're doing. What does John say to that? He says, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Brother, I will offend many people by this statement. But if you do not have the full doctrine of Jesus Christ, then what you're presenting is evil deeds. And then he concludes by saying, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Brother, how else can your joy be full except it be full in the finished work of Jesus Christ?
Right.
Not in a partial work that needs to be concluded. Not in a work that I'm trying to obtain glory for myself, but in a finished work that gives all the glory to God. Then may the joy of the children of God be full. And I believe that God does have a desire that we be full of the joy of His blessings.